If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini al-Islami dini wal-Azam ghayru dini Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to be talking about the prayer rules according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Well, we are going to talk about some of the jurisprudential rules about prayer according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. And let me start by one of the principles or the requirements that I've heard of the prayer, which is or happens to be, in fact, a state of motionlessness, right? Would you talk about this? What does it mean, in fact, to be motionless or without any kind of movement in the prayer? And if somebody does it affect his or her prayer?
One of the essential requirements that must be fulfilled while praying is to maintain steadiness during mm-hmm. prayer.
Yes,
it's very much important to keep your body calm and quiet and not to move. Okay.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I have seen many people, and I see on a daily basis a lot of people who are restless in their prayer. You know, they move their legs, they start scratching their heads, mm-hmm. they tug in their shirts while praying, mm-hmm. and they continuously move as if they have, you know, ants in their pants, as just as they say, mm-hmm. you know, they are fidgety and restless. Yes. That definitely, you know, affects the prayer. According to the religious authorities, it is necessary for a person to remain still while reciting a zikr. Mm-hmm. Okay, if a person wants to move a little bit, okay, move ahead or backward, he should stop saying anything, and then he should make the movement. And then start reciting. While reciting, while saying something, it is not permissible to move, you know, vigorously.
Yes.
And vigorous movement is very is
harmful to the prayer.
Yeah. It's harmful to the prayer, and of course, slight movement of your hands or maybe your body does not affect your prayer. Okay, mm-hmm. if you just move your hands, maybe into your pocket or maybe from one side to another side, okay, that does not affect your prayer. But the thing which is important is that your body should be calm, mm-hmm. steady, and motionless, and it should not move vigorously. If you happen to recite a zikr and your body moves, in that case, according to Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, the obligatory precaution is to repeat that zikr. Mm-hmm. Okay, you have said that zikr and your body moved while saying it. So the obligatory precaution is to move that to repeat that zikr.
Yes.
Yes. This is very important. And unfortunately, many people I have seen around, you know, do not take care of this very essential condition.
I see. But we are talking about the normal conditions with normal people.
You're right.
Some people are suffering from different diseases, abnormalities, such as Parkinson's disease, for example.
You're right.
People are like shaking hands, you know, and some people are suffering from restless leg syndrome, for example.
You're right.
So their feet or their legs or their hands or their arms are moving here and there, you know, they're fidgety. But it's not really under their complete control. So we are obviously talking about normal
Yeah, we are
situations.
Talking about normal people, not talking about people who are exceptional, you know,
yes.
or who suffer from some kind of disease like Parkinson or something that you just mentioned.
And what about the kinesthetic learners? We have it in educational, in fact, because I'm coming from that kind of background in, as far as my qualification is concerned. And we have four types of learners usually, mm-hmm. and sometimes we have mixed types
yes.
of, you know, all of the... In fact, these, which we call it, styles of learning somehow mix in one person or boil down into one person. But the thing is, these kinesthetic learners, as we happen to learn, they, in fact, internalize or learn things while they're moving around.
Mm-hmm.
They're you know, working with or playing with something while they learn something. So sometimes... it goes out of their control. What about this situation?
Well, just as you rightly mentioned, if something is not under control, if your movement is not under control, and you happen to move without you being in control of your movement, then your prayer is not affected, you see.
I see. So what you're talking about is conscious
and deliberate movement.
Uh-huh. I see. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, and our guest speaker at the studio, still Sheikh Javid. We are talking about the rules of prayer according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. And let me ask you this question, Sheikh Javid. You know, we all know that one of the, again, requirements for the prayer is the place where you say the prayer on, right? Yeah. And it needs to be without any kind of vigorous movement.
Yeah, again, you're right.
Or it needs to be flat, usually, right? Not too steep, basically.
Yeah.
All right? So in order for the normal standing or prostration and ruku and sujood to be possible on those grounds, in fact, or pieces of land, would you talk about that too? And what should you do if you are on a moving vehicle, whether it is a bus, train, plane, or a ship?
Well, it seems there are many questions in one single question that you just asked. There are three questions at least, as far as I can decipher.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, when it comes to a moving vehicle, of course, the religious authorities have said that if there is time left, for example, you are on a trip to some place and you are on board an aeroplane, or maybe you are on a train, and you know that after 30 minutes or 1 hour, you will arrive in a place where you will be able to offer your prayers on the ground without having to move or without being shaken by the ground. So in that case, it is obligatory for you to wait so that you can arrive in some place and offer your prayer. But if you have a long journey and the train is not stopping, or the bus is not stopping, or the driver is not does not want to stop because he is not a Muslim, maybe, or he has already offered prayer, or he is in a hurry. Okay, Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei says that if the driver is a bus driver, mm-hmm. you have to tell him to stop, to pull over, so that you can offer your prayer. But if he's not, under any circumstances willing to stop and pull over, then you can offer your prayer in whatever manner possible. Okay, even if the bus is moving, even if the train is ongoing, moving. So it's because it is not permissible to miss your prayer under any circumstances, whatever. So you can pray on a bus, on a train, and whatever manner possible, but you have to sit or stand facing towards the Qibla, and all the requirements of facing towards the Qibla and keeping yourself composed and steady and motionless should be maintained as far as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe there are some movements are not under your control because you are, you know, the bus is steering left and right,
yes.
Okay, or the train is moving, shaking violently. So those things which are not under your control, you are not to blame, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But as far as facing the direction of the Qibla is concerned, as for using the turba is concerned, as far as standing is concerned, these are the things which you are under control of, mm-hmm. which are under your control. So you have to take care of these.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, for your contribution to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. And with me and the rest of the crew here on Islamic laws on IRIB English Radio. We say wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
محيي مميت أبطال.